is often supplemented by respective political initiatives. Indeed, based on the conclusion, the IAEO visited recently the seat of the Par Excellence Muslim Interparliamentary Institution, the Parliamentary Union of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Member States, PUIC, in Tehran, to finalize the cooperation between the two organizations as provided for the cooperation agreement initiated in 2005, based on the same issuing of the IAEO signed in 2010, a cooperation agreement with Pan-African Parliament, and has arranged a meeting for the international work of Catholic legislators in early December. PAM, too, favors independent parliamentarism, and its primary goal is to promote culture. Indeed, the institutional footprint of the above is summarized in the recommendation of PAM's Third Standing Committee on Dialogue Among Civilizations and Human Rights, which also focuses inter alia in the issue of interfaith dialogue. Thus, any relation of cooperation or partnership between our organization and PAM can be found on the goal of promoting culture and religion as a common point of interest for the two organizations. As the IAEO Secretary General, I think that the time has come for a common institutional future. Signing the relevant memorandum of understanding to consolidate the cooperation between IAEO and PAM on an institutional level is just a formality for starting this relation, while the roots of its cooperation have already grown. Finally, before closing my speech, I would like to draw your attention on an initiative we might be interested in about the establishment of an observatory on religious persecutions, which will be set up by the organization Religion for Peace Europe, and the IAEO has decided to support political. It is going to be an institutional entity aiming at the prevention and elimination of the phenomenon of religious persecutions around the world by collecting, processing, keeping, and publishing data on religious violence. We are inviting you to support it too. It will be constructive and useful for us if you express your views, eventually also your concerns around the establishment, action, or operation of the Observatory of Religious Persecutions. I wish a lasting, fruitful, and productive collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Michaelides, and also thank you to Dr. Migdalis for coming to our meeting today. And let me say that we are looking for our structured cooperation with the signature of our memorandum of understanding, and also to to promote a joint event in next year. This is important not only because we share common members between our two organizations, but I believe that, like Pam, IAO is at the core of the Mediterranean. Your country, Greece, is a proud member of our organization as well. We are at the core of the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean issues. And Orthodoxy also is a religion that is well represented among us. Thank you very much. Looking forward for our lunch today as invited us. Thank you very much.
Please allow us to leave the, to let you continue your works. And we are very, once more, to thank you for inviting us and to be here. And I am sure that we are going to have further collaboration and the opportunity to meet you in on February in, yes.
Thank you very much. See you at the lunch. Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
So, dear colleagues, after this first point of our works, we start with our bureau meeting here at Lisbon. There are a number of import issues to discuss here. These refer to the work of our three standing committees, the preparations of our third plenary session, the Parliamentarian Ministerial Forum of 5+5 in Valletta, Malta, the interaction with the UFM Parliamentary Assembly and other parliaments of the Euro-Mediterranean region, the consolidation works at the Palacio Spinola. Sorry? No translation?
Arabic.
It's okay now? Okay. So, like I said, we have many things to discuss here. The plenary session in Belgrade, the Parliamentary Ministerial Forum of the 5+5 Western Mediterranean Dialogue in Valletta, Malta, the interaction with the Union for Mediterranean Parliamentary Assembly and other parliaments of the Euro-Mediterranean region, the consolidation works at the Palacio Spinola, the ongoing operations for PAM regional offices, and finally, the management and financial remarks by the Secretary General. So, to begin, I will give the floor to the presidents of our three standing committees to briefly discuss the highlights of their work over the past year and, more importantly, the upcoming initiatives we are planning to organize in 2019. We can now begin with the work of our first standing committee, and I pass the floor to Senator Alia Buran. Alia, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here and in the premises of this beautiful parliament and this beautiful hall. I mean, this is just the right start for the great work that we are going to conclude today. Let me start by saying that, as you have all seen in the mid-year report, PAM First Standing Committee has been very active and productive throughout 2018. While the report details all the activities in which we were engaged, I will briefly talk about the highlights of the work of our committee and the plans for future work going towards into the year 2019. Our focus remained on areas of instability and conflict in the region. namely the peace process between Israel and Palestine, the civil war in Libya, and the conflict in Syria, as well as our concerns in relation to the U.S. decision of defunding UNRWA. Recently, we also witnessed a hardening of tones in the communication between Turkey and the EU, and Turkey and Greece. NATO conducted one of its largest exercises ever a few days ago in a climate of a new Cold War resulting from the declarations of the future of the nuclear treaty ban by U.S. and Russian administrations. It is clear that all PAM delegates are willing to work towards a resolution of regional crises and to continue to utilize PAM as the key instrument of parliamentary diplomacy in the region to this end. We have an example of this. A few months ago, with the help of our delegates from both Palestine and Israel, PAM responded to the request for assistance by the UN, and our delegates facilitated the dispatch of medical aid to Gaza. Similarly, in the more complex operation, PAM assisted in the liberation of some Druze hostages held by ISIS in Syria. In the same period, PAM also continued to be active on CT, on counterterrorism, by actively participating in a number of dedicated conferences on the issue in Vienna, New York, Rome, Moscow, and Paris, and continuing our long-standing work with key partners, namely the UN Security Council and relevant UN, EU, and national agencies. Throughout the work, PAM continues to focus on the role of parliamentarians in the global fight against terrorism and to advocate for a review of national legislations to ensure that they are both harmonized at the national level and in line with the Security Council resolutions. This is necessary to ensure interoperability between the legal systems of our states to facilitate international cooperation to combat terrorism. Political dialogue continued to be dynamic and constructive through interparliamentary diplomacy and PAM's and PAM's active participation in a number of key events in New York and the Euro-Mediterranean region. Our delegates conducted three electoral observations missions this year, namely in Egypt, Turkey, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. Most recently, PAM participated in the 73 United Nations General Assembly, where PAM's delegates met with a number of world leaders and strengthened our cooperation with the UN through a number of dedicated bilateral meetings with high-level UN officials of the Department of Political Affairs, Office of the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Department of Peacemaking Operations, Regional Bureau for Arab States of UNDP, Office for West Africa and the Sahel, Office for Counterterrorism, and the Security Council Counterterrorism Executive Directorate. During these bilateral meetings, priority issues for PAM were discussed at length. And most importantly, PAM was able to discuss future structured cooperation with the UN, and a number of memorandum of understandings were being finalized and joint events being scheduled. During our meetings with the IBN chambers, the UN's special representatives for the Sahel and West Africa, he informed the PAM delegates that many of the terrorists which were fighting in Syria and Iraq were given safe passage out of that conflict zone and through into the African continent, where they are dramatically increasing their presence, not only in the Sahel, but throughout the sub-Saharan Africa. This is a major cause of concern for the future stability of the Euro-Mediterranean region, and it will also be part of our future work on counterterrorism, as well as on the nexus between security and population movement. In 2 weeks' time in Brussels, PAM is organizing, with the UN Research Center in Brussels, the first seminar ever on parliamentary diplomacy. Dear colleagues, going forward into 2019, The first standing committee will continue to work on these priority issues. In January, PAM will organize with the Parliament of Malta the parliamentary dimension of the 5+5 Western Mediterranean Dialogue on the eve of the ministerial meeting of the forum set to take place in Malta on the 18th of January 2019. Further discussions on this issue are on the agenda of our current meeting and it will be discussed later. In February, PAM will also hold the 36th meeting of the Bureau and the 13th plenary session in Belgrade, Serbia. For that occasion, we are looking at identifying a number of new PAM rapporteurs who will be present to draft reports and resolutions on the key issues of our concern. In April, we will organize, together with the CIC and the PAOCE, a conference on counterterrorism in St. Petersburg. PAM is currently engaged with the Council of Europe to establish a new working relationship to address the issues of cybercrime. It is envisioned that the initiative will have three phases. First phase is to have a dedicated seminar for PAM MPs in Strasbourg on the state of implementation at the legislative level of the Budapest Convention on Cybercrime and to exchange information about the policies and the evolution of legislation in their respective countries. The seminar should take place in May-June 2019. The second phase, country visits by experts from the Council of Europe to raise awareness of the fight against cybercrime, could be undertaken in the request of PAM MPs. In the third phase, an evaluation seminar on the undertaken actions should be held in one of the PAM parliaments at the end of 1 year cycle. In addition to the new initiative with the Council of Europe, we will also organize a joint meeting of the first and third standing committees on the adoption of the UN Global Compact for Migration with a focus on regional security, migration and terrorism in the Euro-Mediterranean region. This meeting is tentatively scheduled to take place in Turkey in June. I look forward to hearing your comments, questions or suggestions on the ongoing work of the PAM First Standing Committee. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much, Halia. And thank you for your update and all your intervention on issues related to the work of the first committee. So now we can proceed. We have the discussion at the end, of course, but now we can proceed with the work of the second standing committee. Je passe la parole au sénateur Lour Marbou de Maroc, le président de deuxième commission. Vous avez la parole.
Merci, Président. Bonjour à toutes et à tous. En ce qui concerne les activités de la deuxième commission permanente de l'APM, vous avez déjà reçu le rapport préliminaire sur les activités menées au cours du premier semestre 2018. Je serai donc, ou j'essayerai d'être bref en me concentrant sur les questions clés, malgré que par les temps qui courent, et compte tenu des défis socio-économiques de notre région, tout est finalement important. Et comme vous le savez, l'activité principale qui a déjà eu lieu au cours du second semestre a été l'organisation de la réunion conjointe aux coopérations avec l'OMC, l'Organisation mondiale du commerce, qui a également été un succès en termes de participation, de contenu, de débats parlementaires et le plus important, en termes de résultats concrets. L'adhésion à l'OMC des États membres est un instrument fondamental et utile pour faciliter les échanges et promouvoir l'efficacité des marchés, d'une concurrence loyale et des investissements. Les parlements membres des pays qui n'ont pas encore ratifié l'accord de l'OMC ont été vivement encouragés à accélérer le processus de ratification. En ce qui concerne Belgrade, certains éléments supplémentaires doivent être pris en compte. Premièrement, notre partenariat avec l'OMC est fructueux et mutuellement avantageux. C'est-à-dire que l'APM donne à l'OMC accès aux décideurs politiques, mais en contrepartie, il faut en être très conscient, l'OMC nous apporte une expertise de haut niveau sur les priorités d'un secteur aussi important comme le commerce mondial. J'espère vraiment que ces recommandations seront prises en compte par les parlements nationaux. Et à cet égard, je vous invite à encourager au niveau national la commission compétente de chacun des parlements membres à analyser ce document très important. Deuxièmement, nous travaillons déjà avec l'OMC pour organiser les troisième et quatrième conférences sur la facilitation du commerce et des investissements, afin de continuer ce que nous avons commencé à Rabat en 2017 et qui s'est poursuivi à Belgrade en juillet dernier. Ces deux nouvelles conférences auront lieu respectivement au Monténégro, en ce qui concerne les investissements structurels, et en Égypte, en ce qui concerne le rôle du secteur privé. Troisièmement, je tiens à remercier une nouvelle fois le Parlement serbe pour son organisation impeccable, mais surtout pour l'engagement que l'Assemblée nationale a démontré à l'égard de l'APM, engagement qui atteindra son apogée l'année prochaine avec la session plénière. Je remercie donc la Serbie, ainsi que notre vice-présidente, l'honorable Malitis, pour ses efforts personnels. L'APM continuera à travailler avec ses parlements membres et avec d'autres parlements internationaux, d'autres assemblées parlementaires, le pôle économique des Nations Unies, les institutions financières internationales, l'OCDE et bien entendu l'OMC pour promouvoir et soutenir les résultats de Rabat et de Belgrade, tout en gardant bien entendu à l'esprit son mandat et son objectif d'établir un espace économique euro-méditerranéen unifié, cohérent et harmonisé. Bien entendu, ce ne sont là que quelques-unes des recommandations issues de la conférence de Rabat. Mais en ce qui concerne la deuxième commission permanente, l'APM a participé à d'autres manifestations organisées par des partenaires, à savoir le deuxième forum parlementaire mondial sur le développement durable, qui nous a permis de créer un nouveau partenariat, ouvrant ainsi les portes à de nombreux parlements du monde entier. Les assemblées annuelles 2018 du Fonds monétaire international et du groupe de la Banque mondiale, au cours desquelles l'APM a fait entendre la voix des parlements méditerranéens au sein de l'un des forums parlementaires les plus inclusifs sur l'économie, et l'APM y participe et contribue régulièrement. Le Forum mondial de l'investissement de 2018, organisé par la CNUSED, il s'agit du forum le plus important au niveau mondial. Encore une fois, une nouvelle activité à laquelle l'APM a été invitée à contribuer pour la première fois grâce au degré de reconnaissance atteint par notre Assemblée et qui lui a permis d'accéder directement à une nouvelle gamme d'investisseurs et d'institutions internationales. Une excellente occasion d'étendre notre réseau et d'examiner les défis économiques sous un angle différent. En outre, et c'est très important, à la suite de la réunion de Belgrade, l'OCDE a décidé d'établir une coopération structurée avec notre Assemblée. Il découvre en réalité un peu notre Assemblée. Notre secrétaire général ainsi que l'un de nos conseillers principaux ont tenu une réunion stratégique avec eux il y a à peine 4 jours et notre secrétaire général pourra nous en dire un peu plus tout à l'heure. Jusqu'à la fin de l'année, certaines activités importantes sont encore prévues. Réunion conjointe du plénum parlementaire de l'APM et de la communauté de l'énergie. C'est l'un des nombreux résultats de notre réunion de Belgrade et je voudrais solliciter votre soutien afin d'assurer la représentation de votre Parlement. Il y aura une session conjointe dédiée à la législation sur les énergies renouvelables qui verra la participation active de tous les parlementaires de l'APM qui y participeront. L'événement aura lieu à Skopje les 27 et 28 novembre. Il y aura la COP 24, c'est l'un de nos rendez-vous annuels. Et comme vous le savez, l'APM est observateur à la COP. Et chaque année, nous participons et contribuons au segment de haut niveau de la Réunion. Pour votre information, il reste encore deux places disponibles pour les délégués de l'APM et la date limite d'inscription est le 10 novembre. Si cela vous intéresse, vous êtes priés de vous rapprocher du secrétariat de l'APM aujourd'hui même, car le processus d'inscription étant très complexe, l'événement aura lieu, pour rappel, du 2 au 14 décembre à Katowice, en Pologne. Vous devriez avoir reçu toutes les informations pertinentes pour ces deux derniers événements que j'ai cités. Et je suis sûr que le personnel du secrétariat, qui est remercié pour l'occasion, pour tous ses efforts, fera un plaisir de vous fournir davantage d'informations si vous en avez besoin. Chers collègues, c'est ce que nous avons fait et nous prévoyons de faire jusqu'à la fin de l'année. Je vous remercie.
Merci bien, Lou. Merci pour l'ajournement sur les interventions et les questions du travail de la deuxième commission. Now we can move to our third standing committee. And I will pass the floor to Honourable Alexandra Maletic. Alexandra, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning to everybody. And the first I want to thank the Parliament of Portugal to hospitality to these 2 days. Thank you very much. And I would like to use this opportunity to thank you all once again for the kind words with regard to Serbian Assembly hosting high-level parliamentary conference of trade facilitation investments in the Western Balkans. And the broader Euro-Mediterranean region jointly organized by the Parliamentary Assembly of the Mediterranean and the World Trade Organization. I am particularly pleased for the great number of conclusions of importance for the broader Euro-Mediterranean region were made, as well as for the number of joint initiatives set in motion for further cooperation at international level. It was a great pleasure to host such a successful conference, and we are looking forward to welcome you again on the occasion of the PAM plenary session that is to be held in Belgrade next February. Concerning the activities of the PAM Third Standing Committee in 2018, as you know, PAM has focused on migration, human rights, intercultural and interreligious dialogue, protection of cultural heritage, and gender issues. These issues will remain key topics and high on the agenda of our committee working plan. Undoubtedly, migration as a global phenomenon continues to be at the core of PAM's attention. The Assembly has been deeply involved in the drafting process on the UN Global Compact for Safe, Orderly and Regular Migration. In terms of future activities, we will co-organize together with the Moroccan Parliament and the IPU a dedicated meeting ahead of the UN Conference of the Adopting of the Global Compact for Migration, which will take place next December in Morocco, and to which our Assembly has been invited to contribute in our capacity of Permanent Observer to General Assembly. We are already coordinating with the Grand National Assembly of Turkey on the next joint meeting on the large movements of population and the related security challenges, as well as the parliamentary key role in ensuring the follow-up to the adoption of the UN Global Compact of Migration by the member states. The meeting will tentatively be held in mind June of next year. In parallel, PAM has continued fostering its partnership with International Center for Migration Policy Development in full. Inter-Parliamentary Assembly of Orthodox and DIHJD. With reference to human rights, PAM has been lobbying for the full application of the universal principles of fundamental human rights through a very solid collaboration established with the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. In addition to the joint seminar on human rights for PAM MPs, our Assembly has also contributed to a special report on how to improve cooperation between national and international parliaments and the work of the Human Rights Council. Moreover, last June, our committee approved a detailed roadmap for future partnership in order to oversee national policies and practices on human rights protection involving every key player from national governments to intergovernmental and non-governmental organizations. We are at present finalizing the text of a bilateral agreement with the Office of the High Commissioner. Future activities of the committee include a meeting dedicated on human rights, parliaments and civil society, hosted by the Parliament of France. Moreover, later this month, PAMS will participate to the second session of the UN Forum on Human Rights, Democracy and the Rule of Law in Geneva. This year's time is parliaments as promoters of the human rights, democracy and the rule of law. Therefore, our Assembly, throughout its mandate of parliamentary diplomacy, will be a catalyst in raising the awareness of the necessity of effective regional dialogue to identify the best practice for states to guarantee the respect of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law, both with their national borders and in accordance with international law. Moreover, the next PAM report resolution would be dedicated to draft principles of parliaments and human rights documents that we translate in French and Arabic for the Human Rights Council. Dear colleague, as you know, the rise of extremism and xenophobia are one of the most critical challenges. Therefore, our Assembly continue to support intercultural and interreligious dialogue as soft tools for international peace. In this sense, we will contribute to the 8th UN AOC Global Forum next November to reiterate our commitment for building inclusive societies. Moreover, I am honored to inform you that the government of Italy has implemented the agreement reached with the Kingdom of Morocco with the assistance of Parliamentary Assembly of the Mediterranean on the occasion of the visit to Morocco that PEM and the Moroccan Parliament organized for our delegations of the 5+5 group of dialogue in 2017. Thanks to this agreement, 100 imams came to Italy from Morocco to lead the prayer during the holy month of Ramadan. In addition, as you have heard this morning, PAM has started cooperating with the Parliamentary Assembly of the Orthodoxy, and we are planning to sign memorandum of understanding and organize joint event in the near future. Protection of cultural heritage also remains relevant of the plans of PAM. We have been actively promoting regional thematic workshops and seminars on the masterpieces of the Mediterranean region, and many initiatives will continue to take place under PAM auspices. Moreover, as a Spanish professor of cultural heritage has joined the PAM academic platform this year, PAM will organize in next year a dedicated conference on this topic together with the University of Madrid, a new active member of our platform. Last but not least, my committee is also active to gender-sensitive issues, as we are committed to be in the forefront of the fight for gender equality, supporting women's rights. In this framework, we have reinforced our cooperation with Women Leader Global Forum, started this last year. Moreover, our delegation in New York took part in and contributed to many events dedicated to gender issues. As you can see, we have many ongoing projects, and we look forward to continuing on your precious support for them into practice, and look forward to hearing your comments and proposal. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Alexandra, and thank you for your update. But thank you especially to you and to the Serbian Parliament for your support on PAM activities, and namely to host our next plenary session in February 2019. So we had the presentations of the three standing committees. So I will ask who wants to take the floor in order to remarks or some questions. Palestine, you have the floor.
صباح الخير للجميع وشكرا للبرتغال وبرلمانها على هاي الدعوة الجميلة وعلى حسن الضيافة أيضا بتقدم بالشكر للزملاء رؤساء اللجان على هذه التقارير المهمة حول عمل جمعيتنا وحول دورها والمهمات اللي قامت بها والمهمات الملقى على عاتقها بالأساس لجنتنا هي لتقريب وجهات النظر وبين شعوبنا وبرلماناتنا في الفترة الماضية حدثت مسائل مهمة جدا وعصيبة للأسف قادتها الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية ممثلة بالرئيس ترامب كل ما قمنا فيه خلال العشر سنوات الماضية من تأسيس جمعيتنا هو أراد أن يهده بضربة واحدة من خلال قرارات لا أستطيع إلا أن أصفها بقرارات لا تليق برئيس أعظم دولة في العالم قرار نقل السفارة الأمريكية من تل أبيب إلى القدس والاعتراف بالقدس عاصمة لدولة إسرائيل دون أي مكان للفلسطينيين كان بتكلم زميلي من الأرثوذكس البرلمان الأرثوذكسي السيد المسيح أول فلسطيني السيد المسيح اللي نشر السلام واللي نشر مبادئ العدل وكلام الله هو فلسطيني نعم يا سادة هو يريد أن يلغي الكنيسة من القدس أيضا تبعها بهجوم آخر وهو يريد أن يلغي الأنروا ويلغي حقوق 6.5 مليون لاجئ فلسطيني في العالم قال هناك 40,000 لاجئ فقط أي بمعنى اللي عمرهم فوق 90 سنة وما زالوا على قيد الحياة من الذين هجروا من فلسطين التاريخية أشكر الأخت السيدة بوران على التأكيد على أن جمعيتنا مؤكدة على حل الدولتين والقدس عاصمة للدولة الفلسطينية وعاصمة للدولتين وحق اللاجئين هذا القرار الأمريكي أدى إلى جرائم مستمرة للاحتلال وللمستوطنين يعتدون على الزيتون وعلى البشر وعلى الحجر بتشجيع من الرئيس الأمريكي ومن سلطات الحكومة اليمينية في إسرائيل من هون أنا عندي طلب كما كنا في السابق أن ندعو لاجتماع للجنة السياسية لجمعيتنا لاجتماع خاص لتدارس ماذا يجري في منطقة الشرق الأوسط استمرار الاحتلال الإسرائيلي لأراضي الفلسطيني هو استمرار للإرهاب تشجيع الإرهاب حتى نوقف هذا الإرهاب يجب أن ننهي الاحتلال يجب أن ننهي استمرار الاستيطان لا سلام مع الاحتلال ولا سلام مع الاستيطان كي نبني مستقبل مشترك لشعوب المنطقة بشكل كامل هذا على الصعيد السياسي وأنا أؤكد على المواقف التاريخية الصعيد الاقتصادي أؤكد على التقرير اللي قدمه الزميل المربوح وهو تقرير مهم وفعلا جمعيتنا تقوم بدورها ونأمل أن تكون في المستقبل بدور أكثر بتشجيع التجارة المباشرة بين الدول الأعضاء في الجمعية وأيضا تشجيع الشكر للزميل ألكسندر على تقريرها حول اللجنة الثقافية ولنا دور مهم وأنا شاركت شخصيا أيضا في العديد من النشاطات كنائب للرئيس وعلينا الاستمرار فيها وشكرا
Thank you very much, Honorable Bilal. I don't know if there are... Okay, Israel, Hamid.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I also want to thank our president that he invited us to this beautiful hall in the Parliament, Portugal. And, of course... I want to to answer to my colleague from the Palestine delegation, that we know that in Israel, as a democratic country, we have two big camps, a political camp that half of the citizens, they vote for a right and half vote for a left. I came from the left camp. I came from the peace camp. I think that for Israel to establish an independent Palestinian country is the Israel interest, not just the Palestinian interest. And I hope that someday we will see this solution for two people, for two countries, for two people, and we can live side by side with a peace agreement and with a lot of things that we can do together. I think that the issues that my colleague put here, the issues of Jerusalem, the issues of the refugees, I hope that when we will be in the final agreement, yes, we have a chance to discuss again with all these issues. Of course, we all wait. We have been waiting to this program or this idea that the President of the United States call it the deal of the the deal of the centers, and I hope that it will be something that we can discuss. I don't know how he want to do it, because you know we talk to the president that we don't know how really he take this this issue, but we know that he there is no translation.
No translation to Arabic.
Okay. I'm hope that in this moment we can find some way to see how we can strengthen the quiet situation between Gaza and Israel, because as you know, I live in Sderot. Sderot is a development town that I was a mayor there when I started my political life. I started as a mayor there. And Sderot is a town that's in the border of Gaza. It's the first town that you can find near the border of Gaza. And all the missiles, they fell first in Sderot, in our citizens. And of course, we know that it's not easy to keep the silence that we want, but I hope that we can find a way. I'm personally prefer that Israel and all the international community works through the Abu Mazen and through the through all the administration of Abu Mazen. I'm against all this negotiation that now happened with the Hamas. I prefer that everything will be through Abu Mazen, but we know that even the Palestinian people, there is many arguments that we can't ignore it, yes? But I think that in the end, I hope that the deal, the big deal, will be with all the Palestinian people, not with half of them. And for me, as a member of parliament in Israel, I hope that someday we can change the agenda in Israel. But we are now in the democratic country, and the right government has a majority, and we have to see what we can do now, even this situation. And I hope that the PAM can take some responsibility, maybe for a project in the Middle East between the Palestinian and Israel. We can do it, Bilal and me. I hope that we can find a way, and maybe the PAM take some responsibility to see where the money can come to the area, because we know the problem with UNRWA. It's not some problem that we can ignore it, but we have to see who can replace UNRWA in the very, very important things. Well, I hope that someday we can stay here and we can talk about the peace agreement and the many, many joint projects in our area. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hamir. Let me say on behalf of PAM that those two interventions are very important to us and reflects the spirit that we have among us in respect with the main United Nations Security Council resolutions about the issue of the dispute between Palestine and Israel. Majali, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the best stability of the Portugal Parliament. This, you know, the first time we are sitting here. But I can tell you that when we are sitting here and we try to look for the last year what we have done, especially in several fields, and thanks the head of the committees about what they have informed us, I would like to thank you especially for the chance and you have given me the view to raise the subject of the hostage of the Druze woman in the United Nations, and PAM attitude to view this subject in the Undersecretary of the United Nations helped to release the part of the hostages. And thank you very much for that. But we still have 21 women and children hostages with the ISIS, with the Syrian regime in Syria. And they are suffering under the situation there. Hoping at the end, by the help of PAM, of the human being here, we are trying to release all of them. Thank you a lot.
Thank you very much. I think that we don't have other interventions, so I will give the floor to the presidents of the three standing committees, if they want to use it, of course, in order to comment the interventions. Halia, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Pedro. I just want to add and say that it's really amazing and extremely positive when you look at the political stance of both the Palestinian delegation as well as the Israeli delegation on the joint look for the future. And both are in total agreement that the two-state solution is the only way forward based on the 67 lines and as Jerusalem, at East Jerusalem as the capital of the future state of Palestine. And this we have been reiterating time and again, and with the Jordanian help and support when it comes to the future and to the final status negotiations, it's something that we are extremely, extremely, extremely willing to engage when the time comes. The situation in Syria remains extremely volatile and extremely dangerous. I would like just to reiterate and say that crossing, the land crossing now between Syria and Jordan, Nasib Jaber, is open. Many of the agricultural produce and back and forth. Many of the Jordanian merchants and the little bit of the Syrian merchants are back and forth as well, more so from the Jordanian side than the Syrian side. We are extremely cautious yet on the political situation and on the security situation in Syria. The pockets of ISIS are still there. We have said time and again that they are destroyed, but they are not totally out of Syria because of the existing ideology of hate and the criminal activities that they are doing everywhere. So, Mr. President, Pedro, and everybody, I mean, it still remains an extremely important topic that we need to discuss all the time. We also need to discuss the issues related to UNRWA. Defunding UNRWA was out of this world, and I would just like to highlight an important message coming from my country. For the past 8 to 9 months, we have done nothing in Jordan but put an international effort that was 100% towards, you know, getting back the funds to UNRWA. From His Majesty the King to the Foreign Ministry, we at the Senate, at the Foreign Relations Committee, we did nothing except to speak about UNRWA and the 5 million Palestinian children that were going to be on the streets. So this is something that we are very proud of, the fact that now we have around 122 million for UNRWA. There is a deficit, of course, but it's narrowing all the time, and thanks to the countries of the European Union for the support for that very, very important matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alia. I don't know if there are interventions from others, presidents of the standing committees. So, in that case, we move, and we now open the floor to a number of points with our Secretary General will introduce, namely the preparation for the 13th PEM plenary session in Belgrade, the Parliamentarian Ministerial Forum of the 5+5, the options for interactions with the Union for Mediterranean Parliamentary Assembly and other parliaments of the Euro-Mediterranean region, the update on consolidation works at the Palacio Spinola, and finally the ongoing operations from PAM regional offices. Sergio, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President, and first of all, thank you to Portugal, to Renato Sampaio as head of the delegation for hosting our meeting, and thank you to all of you to be here today. As you know, the PAM bureaus are extremely important. This is the political core of the work. And once again, I will say something that is relevant to one of the forthcoming points, the importance to have among us Israel and Palestine. This is fundamental for the core work of our Assembly. And before going in the work of the 13th plenary session, I would like to say a few things. First of all, I would like to thank Bilal Qasem, Honorable Amir Peretz, and Majalli for what they have done to help PAM, which had received a request from UNSCO. There was an urgent need for medicine in Gaza, and UNSCO asked if PAM could facilitate. I asked immediately the help of Mr. Bilal, of Amir Peretz, and with Majali, who is our man in the region, we met UNSCO, and then we went to the Knesset, and thanks to your help, I know that a ship full of medicine reached Gaza to treat the wounded at the hospital. And I must say also that I appreciate in the discussion with the colleague from Knesset said, if the medicine is needed very urgent, and the shipment is late to arrive, we are ready to help. So thank you very much to Bilal, thank you very much to Amir, and to Majali. And other things that Majali mentioned before, we were involved in a delicate diplomatic operation that, for the Druze, as you know, ISIS attacked a Druze village, city, you know, on the side of the Syrian border, killed over 200 people, but slaughtered over 200 people and took a number of hostages. With the help, we were coordinated with our Russian focal point. We coordinated with the United Nations political affairs and peacekeeping, and we managed to build enough pressure for the a number of hostages to be released. We continue our action because there are still, as you heard, some 20 civilian hostages, which are part of the game, if you want, of the shield that ISIS is doing, using civilian population to protect themselves in the area they still control. What is important when I refer to ISIS is what Senator Ali Aburan mentioned about Africa, because this will have a direct impact on the Euro-Mediterranean region. We were shocked when the UN High Representative for Sahel said a large number of ISIS terrorist fighters are leaving Syria and Iraq, moving either to Afghanistan or to Africa. And they are leaving under safe passages agreement with the superpowers. And the issue from a pure technical way to fight the terrorists, which is that while Iraq and Syria are quite contained, and you have government and military alliances which have the power to fight ISIS, in Africa this doesn't exist. People arrived through Libya, got arms in Libya, and then from there, Mali, Niger are making operation as south as Mozambique. So you understand how it will be difficult in a territory so large and with military structures, capacity, which are not comparable to the one deployed in Iraq, Syria, and in the neighboring country, how difficult will be to fight ISIS in Africa. ISIS in Africa, which is making also operation to push people out of the region, increasing the migratory phenomenon within Africa and toward North Africa and toward Europe and the Middle East. Country like Morocco itself now is a country which receives migrants. It's not anymore a country of transition. So this is something which we require the attention of our first committee, and at the same time the question of the human rights of the individual who are moving under the broader chapeau of the Third Standing Committee on Human Rights. Other thing that is important, President Amir mentioned, and you mentioned the question of UNRWA. I met with the DI Commissioner. They are trying their best to diversify the source of funding because the single largest donor was the United States. And so they are trying to have a broader base of support. Going on another issue which is important is Libya. You mentioned several times. Italy, we lost on the 12th of November a big international intergovernmental conference on Libya in Palermo. And we are looking with interest what is happening. In New York, we had the opportunity to meet with the Libyan Minister of Foreign Affairs, who gave us some indication, but the prospect is not there. Just Palermo will be a good opportunity to put the agenda again high on the priority of the international community, but at present there are, for instance, no indication for election in the short time. This is what another country which is not PAM, but which affect the PAM is Yemen. It's a huge, it's the worst humanitarian disaster at present. And we might consider if there is something that PAM can do with its constituencies to help some humanitarian action in that country. And on that issue, what is interesting, there is a rapprochement of Doha to our assembly, because the parliament... can you hear that? Is okay now? Oh. Can I continue? Yeah. Is okay? Bilal, is okay? Okay. So this is another issue which we were dealing with. And good thing, now that there have been election in Lebanon, we have a new delegation from Lebanon which will operate with us. We are in contact with them. The same for the Italian Parliament. There is a new delegation. And we will meet them soon to brief them and to get them on board. Preparation for the 13th PAM plenary session. Thanks to Serbia, which we lost it. The date is 21-22 February. It is an important event because it is in a it happened at a key new political moment for the Euro-Mediterranean region. There are many things which are going on, so it's really the moment for the Assembly to take stock of what is happening, but also to renew the commitment to the political challenges we have. What is important for you to know, and we can discuss, is that in Serbia, at our General Assembly, there will be the renewal of the Bureau. So we will have a vote. The geopolitical groups will meet at the eve of the Assembly, and there will be the rotation in the presidency from north to south. As you know, every 2 years, and all the Bureau will be renewed. So I, after this meeting, I will make the formal message to all member states about this issue. Already we have received 2 nominations from the South. In the case of the presidency of PAM from Jordan, and the president of the Parliament of Jordan has brought to our attention the candidature of Senator Ali Abouran to our presidency, and we have received another information from Algeria that they would like to be candidate for a vice presidency. By the way, I share with you the apologies of Algeria not to be with us today, as they are one of the key presidents, because they have political crisis in the country, and so MPs and senators are not allowed to travel. So the issue of the Bureau is extremely important. I would like to remember one thing. One of the strong pillars of PAM in any Bureau has been the presence of Israel and Palestine together. You are the best feature of the Bureau in terms to show that the dialogue, democratic confrontation, idea and proposal are feasible, and they concentrate around this table, and from this table we go elsewhere. And your presence, Honorable Amir, in New York at the General Assembly has been very appreciated by everyone, together with the colleagues from other countries. As well as your presence here, the one of Honorable Bilal Qasem, allow us to coordinate very easily with your Parliament. And for this reason, remember, in addition to the proposal you made about some practical activity, there is always on the table the offer from Jordan to host a meeting of parliamentarians as soon as we get the signal from Mr. Erakat, with the help of Bilal and Majali, so that we can have a meeting of politicians, of parliamentarians. This is the characteristic of PAM. The parliamentarians get together and show that the dialogue is possible and we can advance in a process which is wished by everybody. We will also contact you because we need a good number of rapporteurs, those who will introduce the report and draft a resolution for the three standing committees, because a number of rapporteurs from the previous year are not member of PAM anymore. So we need to find a number of good rapporteurs who know the topics and who will be able to present their report and the draft resolution in Belgrade. Last thing I want to say is thanks to Greece. Already the Greek Parliament contacted me and informed us that they will host the PAM plenary session in 2020 in Athens, which is also a very good information. So now this is the issue. I will contact all of you one by one, all member PAM, to prepare the assembly, General Assembly in Belgrade. That is the information. I don't know if you have any other question on the preparation of the plenary session. If there is no point, the 5+5. As you may know, and for those who are new around this table, just in 2012, there was the ministerial forum of the 5+5 in Rome, which preceded, over a few months, the Malta summit of heads of states and government. Very important. The process was launched again because at that time the governments of the 10 West Mediterranean countries considered that the process of Barcelona was not working, there was really no advance in the process, and that the Union for Mediterranean was too broad and didn't really have a mandate in security matters. For this reason, PAM in Rome was requested to serve as a support, as a secretariat to the parliamentary dimension of the 5+5, which we have done with great pleasure. This was also noted in the Malta summit by the head of states and government, which was a key issue, key point in that work. Now, there was a meeting on the 2nd of November in Valletta at the parliament, where one of our colleagues, one of our advisors, attended with Mr. Micheli from the Maltese Parliament, and the indication is that the meeting is 99% confirmed on the 17th. They are waiting for confirmation by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Algeria. This is what the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Malta has to let us know. The meeting will be chaired by Mr. Speaker Angelo Farrugia of Malta. President Roque will deliver the opening speech. President Farrugia and myself, we will sign the invitation letter as has been done in the past, and then we have a long list of division of labor. If you want, we will help very much in the translation in French and Arabic of the documents. And the 17th will be the parliamentary meeting, the 18th the ministerial meeting. As in the past, the office of President Farrugia is now coordinating with the Minister of Foreign Affairs to ensure that Mr. Farrugia himself, President Roque, and myself will be able to be present at the ministerial meeting, contribute with the message of the parliamentarians. We are not able yet to finalize the agenda because we are waiting for the minister. so that the agenda of the parliamentarians is similar to those of the ministerial, and then we can convey a number of conclusion recommendations. So this is what has been discussed on the 2nd of November in Valletta, and now we are waiting for the feedback. I don't know if you have any additional information on this.
First of all, it's such a pleasure to be here in this magnificent building. So thank you for the hospitality. So basically, I wanted just to add a few things with regard to the agenda. The topics are still to be confirmed. We send the save the date and invitation, so the date is confirmed. I can say that the issues on the agenda will mirror the issues which will be dealt with at the ministerial meeting. We plan to issue the invitation letter, the draft conclusions of the parliamentary meeting, and the practical information note in the first half of December ahead of the Christmas break, and arrangements are being made with regard even to the blocking of the rooms, etc., etc. But you will be receiving very soon from our end. Thank you.
So we will keep updated the country of the 10, and in addition to the country, there are a number of invitees. Mm-hmm. Normally they would be the European Parliament,
yes,
the Consultative Council of Maghreb, observed, they are invitees.
Yes.
This is the routine and the same.
We will circulate the names of the people who would like to invite.
Intergovernmental equivalent will be invited to the ministerial meeting. This is, we use the same list. Now, the third point, Mr. President, is the interaction with the Parliamentary Assembly of the Union for Mediterranean. Why this point is important? President Roque and myself, we were in Cairo a few months ago because, as you know, when the Union for Mediterranean was launched as a proposal of President Sarkozy, there was, I give you the little bit of the background. The idea was for PAM to be the parliamentary dimension of a union of Mediterranean. Then there was a discussion between France and Germany, and the union of Mediterranean became union for Mediterranean. And they decided that body would have its own parliamentary assembly. They had the parliamentary assembly, which never had a real structure, but rather the country holding the presidency on rotation would serve as secretariat for their annual meetings, and the coordinating function was in the office of the President of the European Parliament. That assembly has really never taken off. It has been, there are reports from the European Parliament saying that there was a very low level of participation, less than 40%, and also the agendas were, because it's too large, from Mauritania to Sweden, and with an exceptional weight of the North and Central European countries, which really had a different attitude to South Europe and the Mediterranean. Anyway, election in Italy, there has been a proposal by the mayor of Rome to host in Rome a secretariat for the Parliamentary Assembly of Union for the Mediterranean. The matter was discussed in Cairo. We were present as a delegation of PAM, and what they have agreed is to establish in Rome a small secretariat general for Union of the Parliamentary Assembly of Union for Mediterranean. Some of you may recall that when President Schulz was the President of European Union, there was a proposal from Brussels and from the then presidency of Morocco to merge the two assemblies, PAM with the Assembly of Union for Mediterranean. At that time, our assembly said it is premature. We know that they have a lot of problems, so PAM is doing a good job. But what we have counter-proposed to them, which many countries have seems to support, is let's have one secretariat for two assemblies. So you may have some complementarity of activities. Eventually, there is an harmonization of the agendas. But this is now something that it is with them. We said that PAM continue to work on its own. We are ready to help and contribute. We know that there will be a meeting in March, April, I think, where they will discuss from their bureau and then from the plenary session. We have no more information about that. We believe that would be some delays because of the election of the European Parliament. They will happen in the same period, more or less, in May 2019. So we don't know. If there is anything new, we will inform you. This is what is happening with the Parliamentary Assembly of the Union for Mediterranean. But it's important for you to know why. If this assembly will have a permanent secretariat, a functioning one, and they will have a large budget, you may have a competition with us. And some countries may have problem to pay their quota. That's why PAM went in advance and said, let's have one secretariat. So if Malta, Jordan already paid the quota to PAM, you don't have to pay a new quota for a new secretariat. Your quota is valid for both. This is our also from a practical point of view. But we have no further information on that. This is the situation today. So we are following it actively, and we will inform the next bureau if there is any further information. This is the situation today. For what concern the other parliament in the I don't know if you have any question on this Union for Mediterranean. Lou Marbouch.
Merci, Sergio. Je voudrais d'abord revenir sur le 5+5. C'est vrai que les sujets à aborder ne sont pas encore peut-être définis, mais compte tenu de la situation qui perdure dans notre région, j'émets un souhait que deux sujets importants soient abordés d'une manière ou d'une autre, sous un angle ou sous un autre, mais qu'ils soient clairement abordés. C'est évidemment la Libye et les foyers de tension qui génèrent tous les maux de la Méditerranée que nous connaissons, de l'immigration au terrorisme et j'en passe. Mettre l'accent sur ce que j'ai toujours appelé la proximité immédiate de la Méditerranée, qui est le Sahel et l'Afrique subsaharienne. Vous parliez de la mobilité des terroristes tout à l'heure. Je le confirme qu'il y a une mobilité très aisée dans ces vastes espaces des pays d'Afrique du Nord et surtout de l'Afrique subsaharienne, et que donc le 5+5 méditerranéen est concerné au premier chef, et ça doit être une préoccupation. Les formes après, bon, ça se discute, comment aider, comment contribuer à lutter contre ce fléau très important. Et l'une des recommandations que nous avons toujours discutées donc au niveau de notre assemblée, c'est qu'il faut coopération, collaboration, une coordination pour pouvoir lutter contre tous ces fléaux, à la fois le terrorisme et l'immigration clandestine. Et tout cela ne peut aussi se faire d'une façon efficace si on n'a pas une meilleure intégration économique. Pour ce qui est de la PM-UPM, c'est un vieux sujet, mais qui est toujours d'actualité. Sur le plan purement technique et sur le plan de la recherche d'une synergie entre les deux assemblées, qui théoriquement sont concernées par le même espace géographique, il est évident qu'un secrétariat unifié ne peut être qu'une excellente chose dans le cadre de la synergie, la convergence des actions et aussi la rationalisation des budgets et des dépenses. Mais il faut jamais perdre de vue que le problème, et nous l'avons vécu à plusieurs stations et à plusieurs reprises, le problème reste politique. L'Union pour la Méditerranée comprend les pays riverains de la Méditerranée et un bloc des pays du Nord. Et la PM comprend bien évidemment les pays riverains de la Méditerranée. Et toute la problématique est la position du centre de gravité dans tout cela. Et nous avons vécu des exemples, je ne vais pas m'étaler là-dessus. Donc, aller vers une synergie, moi je suis parfaitement d'accord, parce que ça ne permet que rationaliser, ça permet aussi de rapprocher. Ça permet de rapprocher les deux institutions pour essayer de faire converger les choses, mais j'attire l'attention sur le fait politique ou géopolitique, parce que l'espace des pays concernés est du fait à rendre le centre de gravité des intérêts un petit peu différent. Merci.
From who exactly are we awaiting an answer regarding this from the European Union?
That there are the Parliamentary Assembly of UFM is led by three countries. So in this moment, European countries, European Parliament in two countries. And they have a system of decision making. In Cairo, when Egypt handed the presidency to the European Union, they voted the establishment of the secretariat and they choose Rome as headquarters. So this is the process. Now there is a kind of fluid situation, and we are waiting also because, honestly, and maybe you can help better us, what is the decision-making process in the Union for Mediterranean, the Parliamentary Assembly? Because has the Bureau the authority to decide, or the Bureau make only a recommendation to the General Assembly? We don't know this. But we are following with them, and also apparently themselves was not so clear when we asked the question to the person who is member of the European Parliament and who is a rapporteur on the process of establishing this secretariat, which, as you understand, create a lot of issues. And on a similar trend, and I wish to thank the colleague from the Serbian delegation, few years ago was created the Parliamentary Assembly of Southeast Europe, which goes from Slovenia to Turkey, and they are 12 countries, and basically now the process is slowed down, but they decided to establish a secretariat. The secretariat has never been established, but because are the same countries, the same country of PAM, except I think Bulgaria and Moldova, if I'm not wrong. And we told them, if you wish, little bit like the 5+5, PAM is ready to be your secretariat. They make one conference per year, free of charge. But don't put country like the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, and the other one, to pay a huge contribution for something that can be done by another one free of charge, with all the independence, autonomy of this Southern Eastern Europe assembly. I know that things are slipping a little bit. There was some discussion between Turkey and Bulgaria to whom should be the Secretary General, where to put the office and so on. But you see, in the end, come all to money and to the budget of national parliament. So we said, PAM, if you wish, if you consider it as appropriate, PAM is ready to provide you the support for your annual conference at no cost. You see, this is the issue. And speaking of other assemblies, we, for your information, we have increased exponentially the cooperation with the European Parliament. They come very often to our meeting. They participate in our mission. We have all the group of Euro parliamentarians dealing with the Mediterranean in our mailing list, and they come to our meeting. So it's a very, very good development. And this is also in view of their participation in the meeting of Union for Mediterranean. So it helps to see what is doing. What could be a positive experience that I would like, a positive idea that we were made aware, Senator Amoruso and myself, in Rome a few weeks ago when we met President Casini, who has been appointed the new head of the Italian delegation to PAM, that Italy is considering or decided to have the same delegation for PAM and for the Parliamentary Assembly of Union for Mediterranean. So that will facilitate even more the understanding of the two. This is what I know from them.
Do you mean that in the future, with this process, do you mean that you want that the two organizations will be one organization, or you want just to strengthen the cooperation between the organization? It's separate budget, or how do you, what is the big deal here? Okay, if you tell me that other 5 years, maybe it will be one organization, all the budgets go to one place, but just for cooperate between the, it's okay, but put it in the right things, yes? Please, can you explain?
Yes, thank you very much. The proposal of PAM is...
In the Middle East, we think
future.
A future for 100 years.
Strategic thinking. For the time being, the two assemblies are separate. We have different secretariat, we have different budget. The issue is, maybe in the future, could be useful to have one secretariat for the two, to have some harmonized complementary activities. But to my knowledge, there are some countries which oppose it, and they want two separate assembly, two separate budget, two separate secretariat. Because...
Why do you need it?
Sorry?
What? For what we need it? We can make many projects together, many meetings together, okay. Why we need something like this? Maybe tomorrow you want to cooperate something with other organization. Okay, it's okay. Why you have to give this this organization the priority? For what?
No, we fully agree. PAM was reacting to a proposal which came from European Parliament and from the presidency of UFM. They want to merge, and PAM said no. PAM said no at that time, because we don't want... I give you an example. Let's speak about the funds for development and investment in the Mediterranean. There was a proposal which came from President Sarkozy, if you remember, to establish the Mediterranean Bank for Investment and the Mediterranean Bank for Development. Germany, Poland and Sweden voted against it. They said, we don't want, our priority is East Europe and Russia. So PAM, with the support of Italian, French, Spanish government, and I think at that time was mostly this, the idea was, take it out from the European discussion where Germany has the power to veto, and bring it into the G7, where the discussion is more open and the mandate was given to EBRD and European Investment Bank to operate in the country of the South, Morocco, Jordan, Tunisia and Egypt with 2.4 billion euros per year for infrastructure support investment. So you see there is a danger going on the other side that the country of the North would dictate an agenda which is not in the interest of the Mediterranean itself. And I think Senator Lumarbu was involved in that.
Let me just add something about this issue. I think that intervention of our friend Lumarbu makes the point. One thing is an administrative matter, which means to have a single secretariat for both organizations, and another thing is the political issue. It means that PAM on one side and UFMPA on other side are different scopes. The presidents of the countries of Northern Europe gives UFM a different scope in as these problems that Sergio has mentioned. So the idea in the proposal is to have a single secretariat for administrative matters, and both organizations have their work, their objectives, and they are completely split one from the other. Thank you.
Non, excusez-moi de prendre la parole à nouveau sur le même sujet. C'est juste pour une meilleure précision, hein, parce que d'abord sur le Maroc, hein, dont vous avez parlé tout à l'heure, qui aurait fait la proposition. Je reviens un petit peu sur la souche. C'est pas le Maroc, c'est un responsable marocain qui avait lâché d'une manière, je sais pas, innocente ou non innocente à l'époque, et puis ça a fait l'objet d'une réaction immédiate au niveau de notre Assemblée, et j'épargne la suite. Donc, le Maroc n'a jamais exprimé officiellement la proposition de fusionner les deux Assemblées, que ça soit très clair. J'insiste que ce que fait notre Assemblée depuis qu'il a été créé, son évolution, sa place aujourd'hui aux Nations Unies, sa place aujourd'hui dans la région est dû au fait que son travail est fait d'une façon saine et qu'il travaille réellement sur les problèmes concrets de la Méditerranée, qui sont certes complexes, mais il travaille dessus. Il travaille et il évolue. Nous avons malheureusement une divergence d'intérêts avec certains pays du nord de la Méditerranée. Il y en a qui ne sont pas concernés par l'immigration. Alors que aujourd'hui, l'un des premiers problèmes auxquels nous faisons face, c'est l'immigration. Il y en a qui ne sont pas concernés par le terrorisme, etc. Donc chacun a ses problèmes. Donc, c'est pour ça que j'insiste, il faut faire attention au côté purement politique. Le côté administratif, il ne pose aucun problème. Pour moi, il ne pose aucun problème. S'il faut faire un même secrétariat pour avoir une synergie au niveau du secrétaire général, au niveau des fonctionnaires, etc., ça ne peut être que bénéfique pour les deux parties. Mais il faut continuer à marquer la différence entre l'Assemblée parlementaire de la Méditerranée, dont la naissance est complètement différente de la genèse de la naissance de l'Union pour la Méditerranée. Et juste pour rappel, la PM a été créée et née pour pallier à un besoin, répondre à un besoin de diplomatie parlementaire du bassin méditerranéen. L'UPM a été créée à l'époque parce qu'il y avait 100 milliards d'euros à la clé pour venir chercher des projets dans les 100 milliards d'euros qui avaient été proposés ou mis à disposition des pays concernés. Ce qui n'est pas le cas aujourd'hui. Je ne sais pas combien de millions d'euros on est depuis toutes ces années-là. Donc c'est pour ça que je tiens à ce que la différence soit bien, bien marquée. L'APM reste l'APM, l'UPM reste l'UPM, nous lui souhaitons tous les succès. Nous pouvons avoir un secrétariat commun parce que ça permet de nous rapprocher. Mais attention à ce qu'il n'y ait pas un amalgame, parce qu'aujourd'hui même, il y a toujours un amalgame. On confond toujours aujourd'hui l'Union pour la Méditerranée avec l'Assemblée parlementaire de la Méditerranée. Donc il faut faire très attention, tout en étant parfaitement d'accord sur le côté technique, côté administratif, qui ne pose aucun problème. Merci.
Thank you, Olu. There is a lot of confusion, as you can imagine, on that. Sometimes, for instance, I have received a lot of messages to visit the new office in Rome, and said, you are talking of another assembly, not of us. So this come from the European Parliament themselves, imagine. So we have to make things clear, and this is an opportunity for our bureau to discuss.
I want to add something, please.
Sorry?
I want to add something, okay? I think that we don't need this process. We can meet the people from the other organization for a meeting for many things, but I know that there are many, many organizations, parliamentary organizations. I think that step by step, the PAM create very, very good position. The PAM has now a position that some organizations that everyone want to work with. Well, for me, it's better if we can find a way to see how we can collect people, some found to help some places. It's not mean that we all want to create a bank in the PAM, yeah? But we can see how we can make a contact with many founders. They try to find a place to invest, a place to make humanitarian projects, many things like this. Because if now we make all our efforts to see how we can be cooperate with this and with this, okay, so, in the end, if I'm one of the secretary of this forum in the PAM, but when there is another forum that cooperates between two organizations, for me it looks like there is someone that he has more power than this organization.
Yes.
And I don't think this is a good thing if they want to see twice a year a meeting to see what we can do together, something to project, something to other things, it's okay. But to start to say that we have same secretaries and same things, in my view, I see that step by step we can find ourselves as a small one that we try to eat something because we feel very weak. I think that we have put some agenda to be strong. And I know, I talk with many organizations from UN, you know. You talk about UNRWA, I talk with UNEPS, with many, many other organizations. They try to find some organization like this that look like very natural, that we came only to do something, not for the to be involved with all the political issue. That's my.
Thank you very much. No, your point is very, very clear, and I think reflect the opinion of the all bureau. What you said, it's important to control, to cooperate, keeping the identity of PAM as it is. Now, With your agreement, I go to the next step. Update on the consolidation work at the Spinola Palace and the ongoing operation from the PAM regional offices. Please.
My colleague Omar would like to speak, and I have another proposal. Before to go to the next point, to give us 10 minutes break coffee. But he would like to explain something about the UFM. He is a member.
Yeah. أود أن أضعكم في صورة نتائج اجتماع مجموعة العمل الخاصة بالجمعية البرلمانية للاتحاد من أجل المتوسط التي عقدت في البرلمان. Yes. بخصوص دمج الأمانتان العامتان لجمعيتنا والجمعية البرلمانية للاتحاد من أجل المتوسط، أعتقد أن هذا الموضوع لم يطرح في اجتماع مجموعة العمل الخاصة التي عقدت في البرلمان الأوروبي في شهر سبتمبر الماضي، بل ما أخذ به قرار هو اعتماد أمين عام للجمعية البرلمانية للاتحاد من أجل المتوسط من إيطاليا، ولم يطرح موضوع دمج الأمانة العامة في الأمانتان العامتين في أمانة واحدة، فقط اتخذ قرار بإنشاء أمانة عامة للجمعية البرلمانية للاتحاد من أجل المتوسط، وكافة المتحدثين في ذلك الاجتماع ونحن في فلسطين كنا عضو في هذه المجموعة الخاصة وحضرنا الاجتماع، كافة المتحدثين أكدوا على إنشاء أمانة عامة مستقلة للجمعية، ولم يطرح أحد دمج الأمانتان. لا أدري من أين جاءت فكرة دمج الأمانة العامة، بل أكثر من ذلك تم بحث النظام الداخلي للأمانة العامة المتوقع إنشاءها في للجمعية وكافة التفاصيل، ولكن هناك اجتماع قادم حول هذا الموضوع سيعقد قبل الجمعية العامة للاتحاد من أجل المتوسط في ستراسبورغ، وعلى ضوء نتائج هذا الاجتماع سوف يعلن عن البدء بالخطوات التنفيذية لإنشاء هذه الأمانة العامة، ولكن هذا لا يمنع أن يكون لجمعيتنا تعاون وتنسيق وثيق مع تلك الجمعية، خاصة أن كثير من المواضيع مشتركة بيننا وبين تلك الأمانة العامة، وأقترح أن يكون أن يفكر المكتب في هذا الاجتماع بعقد يعني اجتماع مشترك بين الجمعيتين لمناقشة القضايا المشتركة بعيدا عن موضوع دمج الجمعيتين أو دمج الأمانتين العامتين في بعضها البعض. شكرا جزيلا.
Thank you very much. You are no better than me because you are a member also of the other delegation, and on the contrary, thank you for keeping us informed. I know that, and we were in Cairo because we were invited by the President of the Egyptian Parliament in his double capacity. Now, with your permission, I go to the consolidation work at the Palazzo Spinola. I spoke... You wanted to have a 5 minutes break? Majority.
somiglia a Renato un po', il
Daughter close. Okay. So we can conclude the discussion on the cooperation with the other regional parliament in the Euro-Mediterranean region. We concluded the discussion on the cooperation with the Parliamentary Assembly of Union for Mediterranean. Just a last notice, President Rogge and myself met with the Secretary General of Union for Mediterranean, the intergovernmental side, and we had discussed an old proposal from UFM government to work with us on a joint event, but then we are waiting from them. The idea is we know that they are going to organize something in Egypt, and we were planning something in Egypt with the World Trade Organization. So the idea is, if you are doing something, we do something, let's do it together in, to give more relevance and substance to the discussion. Said so, let me go on point four, the consolidation work at Palazzo Spinola. For those who are not so familiar, in 2014-15, we had, after a renovation, a first renovation of Palazzo Spinola, we had some collapse, some stones fell down from the facade, from the balcony, and the shutters of the window, one shutter fell on the street. We made some very, very basic intervention with the help of the government, the authority responsible for the building, but then the situation has degraded because there were major infiltration of water from the roof. Finally, we commissioned a work for a senior architect study who works with the government on who made the X-ray of the building, and finally the building was declared unsafe for the people inside and for the people outside a year ago. We have been in contact with the authorities, with the person responsible, our counterpart in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Malta, who is Director Victor Grech, extremely nice person, very useful. And then, finally, there were a number of proposals for a temporary accommodation starting from February, and I will show you what was proposed to us so you know you have the full picture. If you can show the slide. Not this. No.
You can look there.
You can see that, okay. This is the one? Okay, go ahead. So, there was a misunderstanding because the person who proposed, you can see that, who proposed the building to us said that the offices were ready. We were offered in the building called Mirabilis office space, but evidently the building was still under construction.
I am informed that actually you went to the wrong place.
No.
And the premises are there. That is adjacent to the Mirabilis, which is the Imrihel industrial estate in Malta.
No, we clarified that. It was the right building, but the information was given. We spoke also with the owner of the building.
I don't think you were accompanied by someone from the ministry, and I think it was a misunderstanding, but that is not the first option we provided the PAM secretariat. Obviously, I know we are going back to the first option,
okay.
But most importantly is that a temporary premises was found, and I hope that you will be showing colleagues.
Let me finish, please.
Thank you.
This was, and the ministry apologized because they did not know that the building was still being built. We have everything in writing.
If you had allowed me to have here present with me the Director General from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I'm sure he would be answering to that claim, but obviously I had no permission from you, and I'm still waiting, obviously, to see the rules of the Bureau, as I think it would be very useful to have the person who is in charge here to answer all these questions as well.
Honorable one, if you allow us to present, and then you have the opportunity to take the floor and to point,
definitely.
Point it out.
Looking forward.
So, this is the first building was proposed to us. We were there with somebody from the government, and they apologized because there was a misunderstanding that the building proposed was not ready yet. Continue. So this is what we visited. Then, because that building was not available, we were offered in Smart City this office. It was a single room which used to be used for a call center. As you agree, as you can see, was not the adapt solution for host a working office of the secretariat. So we thank them very much and say, this is not what we need to work. There was another offer, this one, which is the most problematic of all. And this was also discussed at length personally with His Excellency the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I met him in April. Why this office represents a big problem? It's beautiful, but as you can see from the photo which was taken in presence of a responsible of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, this office had been abandoned in a rush from the previous organization using it, and leaving everything like this. There is a written message communication between us, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and BEC. Next slide. The organization is STK Malta. And this organization has been, there are 18 international warrants of arrest on this organization by France, Spain, and Italy for money laundering for about 1 billion euros. For those reasons, in cooperation with Director Grech, we agreed that visit had never occurred to avoid a major embarrassment to PAM and to the Maltese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Everything is black and white. The Maltese Director Grech thanked PAM for bringing this to his attention, because as PAM, as an international organization, we have always the premises checked by our security officers, and they discovered that office belonged to this STK organization. Finally, about 3 weeks ago, we have received this office with two desks in Aragon Business Center in St. Julian. Very nice, very clean setup, excellent security control, where we have put our administrative service support. What I want to point out that in the headquarter agreement between Malta and PAM is specified that the government of Malta put at the disposal of the Assembly office space for its administrative services. So now we have one issue. We have the office, and this is, I don't know if you are aware of that, but we have no ID card for the staff. We have to, for these reasons, we have been working 1 year from different locations. We have a number of regional offices, and colleagues who used to work in Malta, not having received the residence card, had to leave, not to become immigranti clandestini, to become illegal migrants. So we have moved them to other regional offices of PAM. We have a number of regional offices, because PAM is very decentralized. PAM is not one office in one location. We have a network of regional offices in Apart from the administrative central unit in Malta, we have New York, Geneva, Vienna, Bucharest, and Cairo. And so we have been able to, with a minimal disruption of the offices, we have used the other office where our staff was given the residence permit and they could, the diplomatic permit, and they could work effectively. This is the issue. We have brought it to the attention of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The matter was discussed at the former plenary session, and we have said, unless everybody who work receive an ID card, I cannot have one person in Malta and the other one without permission. So this is the situation as of today. I have been myself at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Protocol Service, on the 12th of September. I have asked personally, why don't you give the ID card to our staff? And they said, oh, we give one. But they said, why don't you give it to the other one? And they said, we don't know. The people responsible for protocol told me, I don't know why the other have not the ID card. I have to stress that when, at the time that the ID cards were requested, every and single staff of PAM had a valid address in Malta. It's clear. Once they left, they relinquished the apartment, the lease, and so on. This is the situation as of today. Therefore, we know that once the work at Palazzo Spinola will take 2 years to be completed, therefore now we are looking what is the best location of our staff to have the most effective use. As you can see, PAM is extremely effective. We are doing a lot of operation, but there is this issue of the ID cards, and then on the basis of the ID cards, PAM management will decide who goes where to work, considering that PAM is not the same of 2006 and 2007 with a small secretariat in one location, but we have a broad regional system which is helping very, very much and is quite effective in terms. That's what I want to mention.
So thank you very much. As you explained to our colleagues, the government of Malta has been renting since the 19th July those temporary premises in St. Julian's, as you wished and as you asked. You preferred the location close to the Palazzo, and we offered St. Julian's. And as I have written here, an email dating back to April, you have accepted the temporary offices, and you are happy with those offices. And I am informed also that the electronic keys were collected last September, and obviously they have relocated their IT staff and stuff like that, okay? So far, no memorandum of understanding was signed between the two parts. So the government of Malta gave, as a gesture of goodwill, in spirit of goodwill, the electronic keys to those very expensive premises, even though no memorandum of understanding was signed. So, as you can recall from a letter which I gave the Honorable President a few minutes ago, and I would like to share a copy to you all colleagues, the Minister is pressing for us to sign this memorandum of understanding. I think it is very, very important. Apart from that, I would like also to say that the Ministry of Affairs has been chasing both of you, but especially you as Secretary General, to set up a meeting. So far this meeting, a lot of months have passed and no meeting was held. I imagine that everyone has a very busy schedule, but I don't think it's very respectful when you have the Speaker of the House asking for a meeting and the Minister of Foreign Affairs to ask a meeting, and such meeting never takes place. We are willing to solve this situation, but obviously it has to be a two-way thing. With regards also to the ID cards issues, as you rightly know, before we issue an identity card, we need a fixed address. The only person who has this ID card was actually the only person who adhered to the laws. We have to follow the laws in order to give diplomatic immunity and to issue an ID card. So usually, and we have no issue whatsoever with international organization who reside in Malta, all of them adhere to the regulations. They have to have a fixed address in order for us to obviously provide an ID card. The only person who has done so is Ms. Bukachui Bushra. I'm sorry, it's not the right pronunciation, but obviously he gave us what we requested as a country, and the ID card was issued without problems. So the issue here is not that the country doesn't want to issue these ID cards. It's that there are certain regulations we have to abide to, and obviously they are not being followed by many of the personnel. Obviously, we hope to solve this situation, because obviously it's in our interest. We are happy to have PAM in our country, and we honor our obligations, and we will keep on doing this, even for our future cooperation. In the letter of the minister, you can rightly see that in the last part of the first part of the letter, the ministry looks forward also to conclude the renewal of the protocol to extend the agreement between the government of Malta and the PAM, which is also due to expire in 2019. Please note also that the premises were rented for 3 years. We rented them before even the memorandum of understanding was signed. So please, we appreciate that thousands of euros are being paid from the taxpayers' money, and we would like to have an effective and efficient secretariat working from those premises, as it is rightly so what everyone looks forward to.
Thank you very much. Now let me say something. The gentleman up there, Vladimir, can you stand up? Vladimir is one of our staff members. We recruited him. He came to Malta. Uh-huh. He rented an apartment immediately. We have requested the ID card, providing proof of residence, address, all what...
What address did he provide? Because...
Can you say, Vladimir, where did you live in Malta when you arrived? Microphone.
It was in Slima, across from Surfside. I cannot recall exactly the street number, but in the application that we filled out, there was the address there.
Thank you, Vlad. So, after 3 months, before his visa to enter the European Union expired, he had to leave because he could not stay in the European Union.
I am informed that Mr. Vladimir, through the Note Verbal 24-2017, dated 3rd October 2017, PAM requested the issuance of ID card for the new program officer, provided the following residential address, Flat 10, 6, 3, Luigi Camilleri, Slima. A reminder was also sent to you by Note Verbal, dated 19th February. The police were informed of the address and the reply that no one lives in the address provided. Thus, the ID card was not issued. We've been facing wrong addresses, false addresses, no one living in those addresses. And this is very serious because we have a very strong due diligence process. I reiterate, we have no problems or whatsoever with other international organizations. Everyone has their ID cards, but they need to provide a valid and fixed address for us to issue that ID card. So we can speak afterwards, we can receive what address you really provided, but the address you provided, which I quoted here, does not, no one lives there. So the police came and no one was there.
I have a copy of the contract which I signed for that address, which I would be happy to provide to you or anybody else.
Thank you so much.
There were some issues with the landlord. In fact, there was a bit of a scam going on. I ended up getting evicted from it because there was some criminal activity going on who is like the
owner was issuing rent to somebody else, and then somebody else, and whom I signed the contract with, maybe ended up being not valid. But I lived at that address until 23rd of December, 2017, and then I left to Bucharest shortly thereafter.
I would be glad to assist you in your queries afterwards.
I have a contract which I'd be happy to share with
and
you.
And I have a full list, Secretary General, about the reasons why other people didn't manage to get their ID cards. For some of them, for example, provided a false address, others weren't even there, and the only actual person who got his ID card was Ms. Bushukai Bushra, and I apologize once again for the wrong pronunciation. But I can meet them all, obviously, with the assistant director, and we can go through all of these. And if they need assistance in applying for the ID card, we will provide that help. So I don't know, it never happened with other foreigners working in the country. So
thank you very much. This story of the ID card is going on since 2015.
Yes, but
if you go in the records of the nota verbal, we have addressed to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, we have never received a single explanation, never. We have not received a single reply to our nota verbal. Therefore, we cannot continue this story about the
one last point. If my colleague from the Foreign Ministry was here, I'm sure he would be able to answer that question. Obviously, I'm a parliamentarian. I cannot answer in that regard. But there again, we are giving our helping hand to everyone. We would like to have an effective secretariat in Malta. And we give assurance, as you all read the minister's letter, that we would like to have a present and future cooperation. Obviously, this is a stumbling block. We will solve.
Yeah. Thank you very much. As I have indicated often to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and it was Ms. Karen Mamo from your office, she said, Secretary General, you have to deal. We ask the help of the Parliament. And she said, we cannot get involved in this. Please discuss with the Minister of Foreign Affairs. So, as I have indicated in the Minister of Affairs,
he is here outside, so
he cannot enter
in
this room.
We have said
that we are ready to go to Valletta and have a meeting, and these issues were raised directly with His Excellency the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Paris. The same meetings have been already held in the past with the Minister of Foreign Affairs by a number of people around here with the same issue. So, if the Ministry wish to have a meeting, with great pleasure for the Secretariat and the Ministry to discuss this issue. Unfortunately, this is a long old story, and when the Minister in Paris told me the same list, I could give him an answer for each and single name. This is why a number of staff, after 3 months in Malta, having those who were non-EU citizens, had to leave the country. It's clear, if only one person, Bushra, has received the ID card and not the others, she cannot go alone in Malta. She has to stay with the rest of the team. But I can assure you that everybody had a valid address. Now, as I indicated to the Minister...
So why is the problem to give a right, valid, fixed address? Are they living in Malta? Because my concern, honestly, and allow me to say this, is that they don't have a fixed address here in Malta.
There are contracts for everyone. But I think I raised the issue. You replied very kindly.
Yeah.
This is the situation today, so we will look in the future.
Hope now, we'll have time to discuss it even with the minister.
What is important is that now we have an office with is 45 square meter, which is good for the administrator, but the ID card issue has to be raised.
It's 87 square meters.
As
you requested, it's 87 square meters.
But that is the toilet and the kitchen. I'm speaking of the
office. Part of
working
the premises,
space.
Obviously.
I'm speaking of the office. So that is the issue I want to mention about Spinola Palace. So it's a broader discussion which also gets involved the issue of the headquarter agreement. I had a meeting a few days ago in Malta with the PAM legal advisor. Mm-hmm. We have a Maltese PAM legal advisor who knows you very well.
Really?
Who is a former member of Parliament.
We're a small country. Everyone knows each other.
So I can tell you, as example, he's going to meet the general attorney mm-hmm. of Malta, because in the headquarter agreement there are a number of issues which are not in line with international standard. And so he's going to meet the attorney general already to preempt it, to look. And I tell you what are the issues that, for information. Just very quickly. This is the... Okay. I don't know if you can read it. Next slide. This is the thing. Article 25, because everybody asked me, the government of Malta, the Republic of Malta, put at the disposal of PAM office space for its administrative services. Next slide. The issue of VAT. We have a long, long pending story with the VAT, because the VAT is subject to some national law. And here you have some people with a senior experience. An international agreement cannot be subject to a change of national law. And we have said many times to the colleague from the VAT department that also in accordance with the PAM statute, in accordance with the EU directive, that VAT claim on goods and services are made, ideally, the organization is exempted. So you present a card and you don't pay VAT without waiting 1 year for refunds. In the agreement, Article 6 said that VAT refunds are made to PAM in line with the provision of the Maltese national law, which may be changed in the course of the agreement time to time. This is... You cannot sign a contract and say one of the party will change it without the consent of the other. So this is some of the issue that Joe Samut is going to raise with the yes. Attorney General. The other one is the agreement will expire, as you said, on 9 December. And one other thing that is important, there is a discrimination against Maltese citizens. They cannot have the immunities of PAM. So it is a problem for us, because there is a discrimination against citizens of one country. In accordance with our rule, there is no discrimination between Maltese, Italian, Jordan, and so on. So we this is a...
What do you mean by discrimination?
Allora, that the Maltese citizen not enjoying the immunities of PAM can be prosecuted, can be under undue pressure, and so on. So, and this is specific. So we said you have to eliminate this rule, because Maltese, as a Maltese working for PAM, is like any other staff of PAM.
You will be discussing this with the
Attorney
AG,
General,
right?
Yes, yes. Okay. These are Honor Joe Samut is going to
yes,
do.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things. Now, these are the key issues, if you want. And I will be happy to meet with the colleague of the minister, because I tell you, and I promise, we never got any reply to our note verbal seeking for explanation.
I am informed that there were 7 note verbal which were collected in October, so prior to this meeting, so no one collected for many months the note verbal, and all of a sudden someone collected them together in October, so a month ago.
I was there, I collected them myself.
But all of them together?
No.
So they were like pending.
We received advance copy by email. Only the hard copy was
this
collected.
Morning was issued another note verbal. I don't know if you are aware of it.
We have everything, yes. Because once again, we were soliciting that. We informed them that we have a residence now. But it can be used only for visiting staff in the absence of an ID.
Because the minister obviously is asking for clarifications.
Yeah, yeah.
We reply
all the time, immediately. That is fine. So this is the situation at Palazzo Spino. Now we are working with our regional system. It's working fine. Once we clarify the issue of the ID, we can see how to resume normal operation in the administrative office in Malta. Because also, you understand, I cannot send one and not the others, but we have all the evidence for everyone as required. The other issue now is the question about the recommendation. I will go with the recommendation of the expert report. The issue of the expiry of the agreement in December. There is an expert report, which was an independent expert report, which was ordered by the PAM Bureau, which was discussed and disseminated to all delegation in 2016, which was ordered under the presidency of President Lumarbu, which look at the functioning of PAM in general. Political activities, economic activities, social activities, and so on. And one of the recommendations of the Bureau, is of the independent expert report, the work for the European Union, was after so many years, you have to check if there are other countries interested to host the PAM, everybody, and check which country offer the best condition from a fiscal point of view, from a residential point of view, so that PAM can reassess. And this is a common procedure also by UN agencies. Every X years, you said, now the agreement with Slovakia is coming to an end, UNDP European Office. Let's see which country might be interested to host the assembly, including Malta, everybody. And then you can have a reflection if there is a country which offers total free services, one country which offers free accommodation, one country total VAT exemption at the origin, and you put all the criteria. So the what we are going to do is, in view of the expiry of the agreement with Malta, to request every country, without distinction, say the agreement is coming to an end because we have reassessed the interest of the assembly, if you want, from a material point of view. Those who might be interested, to have an interest in that, please come to us with a list of what is your offer. It's like a marketing operation. And the offer which might be received will be distributed to all members for consideration. This is a typical procedure for any international organization. And so, after this Bureau meeting, there will be a note to all member states saying, please, we are reassessing the strategic position of the Assembly. Should you be interested, have you an offer to PAM to offer what you can offer? And the list will be compared. This is, to my knowledge, the procedure, what had been agreed and what had been discussed at the end of the plenary session last year. So this is in line with what was agreed last year. I think Justine Caruana was there. She said the agreement will expire. As a lawyer, she said the contract will expire there. And you can laugh. Because now the agreement will expire in 1 year, in December, that we need the time to process the request, the exchange of information, so that we can prepare a matrix for all the assembly with what can be, maybe no one will come, but maybe we have five, six. So with what are the answer to our request for for expression of interest?
So we will be having a bidding competition.
Yes. Competitiveness. This is, President, you wanted to add something on this?
No, I think that you are just pointing out what are the state of the art of this process. So, regarding the future, I think that we should analyze the proposals and see what is the best, including Malta, of course, as any other member parliament of our organization. Thank you.
I would like to add that the PAM of 2019 is very different from the PAM of 2007. In 2007, PAM was a small entity coming out of the Interparliamentary Union. It was an organization which met every 2 years, serviced by somebody else, and did not know where to go. It was a very strange period. In 10 years, PAM has matured a lot, not only has filled the gap in the geopolitical scenario of the Euro-Mediterranean region, but we also faced the consequences of the Arab Spring, the economic crisis of our country, the massive migration from Africa. And PAM was able to acquire a recognized role of competence, which is, and I'm going already in the management report, if you wish, to take the leadership among the other parliamentary assembly which have a role in the broader region. I think our big accomplishment from the political point of view was the partnership with the UN Security Council on the matter of fight to terrorism. Because the Security Council chose PAM to work with them so that we can work, all the 30 member states of PAM, at the legislative implementation of the resolution against ISIS, against Daesh. And the reason why they chose PAM was that PAM was the first organization in the world to give a definition of terrorism and is the only one who cover a region which is not a continent. We cover a cross. We are at the crossroad between Europe, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and we are in the middle of all this transit. I was speaking with the Senator Alia Buran a few minutes ago, and she said something that was told to me by the Under Secretary General of the United Nations for Political Affairs. PAM is unique because it's very focused geopolitically. We may have different position, but we have a common understanding of the situation and you speak to each other. They were shocked when at the meeting in Geneva of our Commission on Human Rights, you had at the same table Turkey, Syria, Israel, Palestine, and other country speaking together in a constructive way, not the rhetoric that we are all the time. So they said, we invest in PAM. The other issue that you can see is we were able to team up with the big financial institution, the European Bank, the World Bank, IMF, UNCTAD, World Trade Organization, because they see in PAM a partner to stimulate at the legislative side investment, structural investment in the region, but also to solve a problem. I give you an example. EBRD is exposed with Egypt for 1,070,000,000 euro. And they came to us and said, we need to continue funding Egypt. We need a guarantee from the parliament, because we wanted the parliament to to adopt the declaration so that it goes beyond the commitment of the government. Or the European Investment Bank said, we are ready to operate with 800 million euro in Lebanon for reconstruction, but the Lebanese parliament does not ratify the agreement with us because the Lebanese parliament does not work. So we brought it to the attention of the office of Nabib Berri, the president of the Lebanese parliament, who with a special committee immediately signed the agreement with the bank. So 800 million euro in Lebanon for productive activity, create a job. This means stability, means calming down the tension. So this is our role as a privileged forum. And I just came back from Paris. To my positive surprise, the OECD has decided, has proposed, to establish a structured cooperation with the PAM on the model of what we did with the World Trade Organization, with the World Bank, and with the IMF. So I never saw PAM so operational, so engaged. We have, thanks to the recommendation of the expert agreement and thanks to you increasing the budget of PAM by 10% last year, we have received the operational budget required to work. And we are also recruiting people now. We are just taking now on board a Tunisian girl from the diplomatic school who can help us because we need always people who speak French, English, and Arabic. This is our, and who will strengthen our regional office to prepare, because all this engagement brings a lot of work. You cannot just shake hands and say goodbye. Then you have to follow up. The Human Rights Council has requested PAM help on the roadmap for the parliamentarians. So we are working very focused. We are taking again the level. And now that we have a good system of offices, we can relaunch the cooperation program with the universities. Because for 1 year we didn't have proper offices, we were obliged to block the Erasmus cooperation program with the universities. Now we have opened it again. They are coming back, and also very interesting, because of our role, there was University of Ljubljana who indicated us scholarship for Egypt and Tunisia for 200,000 euros. And we are having scholarship from Sweden to get students from Palestine and Israel to study together, to make research together in our offices. So it is a very good sign. Very important on this is the role of China. China, as you know, is coming very heavy on the Mediterranean scenario. And they are using the university to open the door. So in the framework of the PAM academic framework platform, we have now signed an agreement with the University of Salerno, the University of San Marino, and the University of Shanghai to work together to, you know, channel a little bit this interest of China into what are our program at the parliamentary level in terms of investment. And China means also big money, as you can imagine. So also another thing that show how PAM is becoming a more and more credible partner for everybody, that in spite of what we said before about the Union for Mediterranean and so on, the European Parliament is taking very active participation in our assembly. We have members of European Parliaments who come to our meeting, to our seminar, to our conferences. Some of them also wanted to come to the monitoring mission in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but at the last moment they could not come. And the thermometer of political interest, we had, with the help of Serbia, the meeting last summer about trade facilitation in the Western Balkans. This meeting is not a simple technical meeting. For those of you who were in the former bureau, it was a request by the President of General Assembly of United Nations, who knows the region very well. He is the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Slovakia. And what he said, the political discussion among the country of former Yugoslavia is deteriorating. The EU border is a very heavy divide line. So we need PAM. The president of GA said we need the PAM to open a new platform of dialogue using investment, structural investment, trade facilitation as a ground for dialogue among the country of former Yugoslavia. Serbia very, very kindly accepted to host this event. Thank you again. But if you remember, this is the first meeting where we had a very strong participation from the European Commission, all Western ambassadors, and the all the financial institutions. So it shows how the parliamentary diplomacy offered this parallel channel for regional stability integration, and PAM is the preferred partner for these big organizations. The same, and again speaking with the Senator Alia Buran, what we prepare for Libya. And I will send a message to you. If your governments are attending the Palermo meeting on 12 of November about the peace process, national reconciliation in Libya, if you can be so kind to feed us back, also because this will be a prominent issue on the 5+5. Libya is very active with the PAM. We know that it's fragmented. We work both with the Tripoli and Tobruk. In our last plenary session, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Libya came to brief us. We continue to work with the Special Envoy of the United Nations and with the Parliament in Tobruk. So we, and the United Nations, UNDP, has asked us to help in capacity building of the parliamentary structure of Libya once the situation allows. And countries which are very close, like Malta, like Italy, like Algeria, Morocco, Egypt, can really help a key role in facilitating the capacity building of Libyan infrastructure once it is ready. So that is the way we are moving at the from a political development management point of view. And if you see our calendar of 2019, it's already going very, very fast, with more and more institutions requesting to have meeting with us. Why? If you remember, there was a crisis a few years ago because to host a meeting of PAM is quite expensive. You have 100 delegates, you have translation in English, French, Arabic, in some other languages. So there was an agreement of the Assembly where the Secretariat create opportunity for PAM meetings jointly with the partners, so that the partner hosts the event, pay the cost, like in the case of World Trade Organization, they helped the cost of the meeting in Serbia, in Morocco. So we have a substantive input, and we create a lot of opportunity for our parliamentarians to meet, to confront, and to discuss also with the other organization. For instance, Bilal very nicely represented the PAM in Indonesia at the meeting on sustainable development, because that was a global event. But our Mediterranean focus was also discussed there. The same, our president was again in Indonesia for the special session of the International Monitoring Fund and the World World Bank on the issue of development. What is important for us, for instance, and we are start tracking here, is the leadership of Malta on the blockchain. It's the most advanced country in Europe on that. And we are following that. The summit you had a few days ago, the involvement of that in the economy is something that we should at least start following, and Malta could also help us in briefing us, because you have the only legislation on that, which is very, now the Americans are running after, but for what Europe is concerned, and with the development of the blockchain and the general data governance, which we lost all data at European level, these are key that where PAM is not an expert, but expert can advise us. You see, this is the key issue. Said so, let me go to the financial table.
With regards, going a bit back to the bidding exercise where countries can submit their interest in hosting the PAM Secretariat. Obviously, it is in our interest and our pleasure to renew the contract with the PAM Secretariat, as explained also by the Minister. And also, as it is written in Article 6, it stipulates that it could be renegotiated and renewed for further periods of time. So I was going to ask, shall we sit down, discuss, and renegotiate before going to the other countries and make them put their submissions? I think it's only fair. And I wanted to ask if it is maybe your personal opinion or a shared opinion of my colleagues, because I don't think a plenary or a vote, some sort of vote was taken about the issue. So we were unaware of it as a country, that there were the plan to submit like applications for those who are interested in hosting the PAM Secretariat.
I will leave the floor also to the President, but this is something that was discussed at the plenary session last year. When we said it's too early, so in the course of 2018, when 1 year will be going to the expiry of the contract, this consultation process will start. But more than fair, as the President said, for Malta to be one of the countries to renew, in this case, the offer, and for the other to come with other offers, so we can have a comparative matrix of what are the offer on the table.
Let me just say that in my view, if there we have a contract and that contract goes to the end, so there's a matter of resetting the issue. So I think that any member parliament of this organization could fill an application in order to receive the PAM Secretariat. In the case of Malta, I think that Malta shouldn't start from scratch. Malta has as the secretariat on its territory, so the renovation of Malta could be the proposal for Malta. That will be discussed at the same level as the other propositions. Yes.
Thank you, President.
Merci. Juste quelques remarques. Mais avant ça, je tiens quand même à rappeler que la PM existe depuis 12 ans maintenant et que, indépendamment de tous ces problèmes, il faut qu'on remercie Malte pour tout ce qu'il a fait pendant ces 10 dernières années en ayant accueilli donc le siège de l'APM dans son évolution. Il est vrai aujourd'hui que nous sommes dans une étape. C'est une étape qu'il faut gérer. Il faut gérer indépendamment de ces problèmes. Je voudrais juste faire deux remarques pour ne pas trop m'étaler sur le sujet. Je propose que ce que vous nous avez montré sur ce bureau, où il y a des 18 mandats d'arrêt, où il y a un problème de je sais pas quoi, blanchiment d'argent, ça c'est pas nous qui le disons, c'est la justice certainement qui va dire ça, mais que tout ça soit supprimé des archives officielles de l'APM, qu'il soit peut-être dans les archives officieuses, mais ça, ce n'est pas une bonne chose. Il faut que ça soit supprimé de nos documents, parce que vraiment ça, quand vous avez parlé ça, moi franchement j'ai eu la chair de poule, hein.
L'APM est une organisation très propre. Et il ne faut pas qu'un temps soit peu que ces mots, hein, rien que les mots, ça donne la chair de poule. Deuxième remarque, vous parlez de appel d'offres. Parce que juste une remarque pour ne pas se tromper un petit peu de terme. Il faut plutôt faire un appel à manifestation d'intérêt au lieu d'un appel d'offres, parce que l'appel d'offres est plus commercial. Donc une manifestation d'intérêt pour les pays qui seraient prêts à accueillir le siège de l'APM, et avec si possible aussi, compte tenu de l'évolution de l'organisation, une sorte de cahier de charge, hein, pour pouvoir donc permettre à ceux qui le voudraient de répondre à une manifestation d'intérêt. Merci.
Thank you, Senator Marbu. I said an expression of interest. It's the matrix. Yes, indeed, you are right. Now, let me say something. On the budget point of view.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt again, but I don't honestly, personally tolerate such allegations of money laundering towards our country. We are very strict, and since we are very strict and we have a strong due diligence process, there are the so-called problems. So these problems are not being caused by us as a country, but are being caused since the people are not adhering to our rules. So I think it's not fair to speak in those terms about the country. Obviously, out of respect, we would like to renew the contract, because we honor our obligations. We are honored to have the PAM Secretariat here. And I wanted to conclude by saying this. The PAM is not having the most beautiful location in the Mediterranean. The PAM is all about what we are politically and effectively doing to better the things, not just in the Mediterranean, but in the world. So this is purely a cosmetic argument. We are willing as a country to bid to have the PAM Secretariat again in Malta, but I don't think it's fair. We are putting this like some sort of competition. Who offers the best terms and location will get it. PAM is not about this. This is my first time here at the PAM Secretariat, and honestly, as a young politician, I don't think that politics is about the premises we work in. Politics is about what we can do to have a better world to live in. Thank you.
Bon, désolé, madame, je ne vous ai pas adressé la parole directement. Je n'ai rien dit à Malte. Je suis jaloux pour cette organisation. Je ne veux pas que dans un rapport quelconque qu'il y ait ces images et ces termes. C'est bon pour l'organisation, c'est bon pour Malte. Et je ne suis ni la justice, ni la police judiciaire pour dire qu'il y a ceci ou il y a cela. Je ne veux pas que ces termes soient dans les documents de l'APM. Et ensuite, madame, j'ai dit manifestation d'intérêt. Chaque membre dans cette organisation, après tout cela, et après avoir remercié Malte pour tout ce qu'elle a fait pendant 10 ans, a le droit, si le management de la PM le demande, à manifester son intérêt, madame, pour vous adresser à moi comme si je vous ai incriminé, comme si je vous ai dit quelque chose qui ne va pas. Excusez-moi. J'ai commenté des documents. Là, je le répète, c'est pas honorable pour notre organisation de voir cela. Moi, je ne dis pas que ça existe ou que ça n'existe pas. Ça, c'est une affaire de la justice. Mais moi, je ne veux pas que des termes comme ça soient dans des documents officiels d'organisation. C'est tout. Ce n'est rien d'autre. Alors, ne vous sentez pas visé par mes propos. Deuxième chose, manifestation d'intérêt, c'est quelque chose de tout à fait normal. Je ne parle pas de localisation géographique, je ne parle pas d'autre chose, d'offres financières. J'ai dit que si le management de l'APM pense qu'il y a une étape qui est aujourd'hui établie, s'il veut faire un appel à manifestation d'intérêt pour le siège de l'APM, quel est le mal ? On a eu l'occasion de voter à Porto une proposition qui est déjà faite par un pays méditerranéen. Donc, ne vous sentez pas visé par mes propos, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
Thank you for this clarification. I go back to the budget, which is important. In line with the recommendation of the expert report, and thanks to the support of the member state, last year PAM budget has been increased by 10% in line with the recommendation of the in line of a recommendation made to the Assembly and endorsed by everyone. I tell you why this is important. Because if you remember, there are a number of countries which have failed to pay their contribution in the past. Now, with the new budget, we have received, so far, €737,000. For the fiscal year 2018, which are sufficient for PAM to deal with its obligation in terms of staff, in terms of operational costs, and in terms of support for our activities. This is extremely important. And you have a table of mission as of the end of October. You see that our assembly was able to cover 63 events in the first 10 months of our year, of which 20 events only covered by Member of Parliament, 35 events by Member of Parliament accompanied by PAM staff, and 8 by PAM staff. I want also to give you a projection, an idea about the financial impact. Compared to last year, the same period, we had conducted only 50, we had attended only 50 events against the 63 of this year. So already we have 13 events more, but at a reduced cost, because using the regional office, our colleagues in New York, in Vienna, in Geneva, in Cairo, we are able to cover much more events at no cost, because you don't need to travel. This is fundamental for us, because it gives us a 15% cut in budget with an enormous comparative advantage in terms of capacity of PAM to be present, to convey its message, and to feed back to our parliamentarians. We should complete the year 2018 with balance, no deficit compared to previous years, and also what is important, to keep 1 month to use the cover the budget in January 2019 to give time to the new contribution to come. So that is for us important, to finish the year without deficit and to have a carryover of some 40,000, 50,000 euros, which help us to work in the beginning of the new year pending the arrival of the other contribution. This is fundamental, it is important, and it shows that the choice to work through these regional offices and the permanent representative in the UN capitals and the Arab League capital is working, and it is giving its result. More work, more efficiency, more exposure, less budget. So this is very, very good. This is what I want to mention to you on the terms of the financial record of our assembly. So it's very, and also special thanks to Israel, who in addition to its normal quota gave us some additional money to help us for some travel and operation. Thank you, Mr. Amir. And thank you to all of you for your support. And I think one...
In the right time.
And I think now what we should focus is, I will send a message to all of you, if you can help us, on the feedback of the Palermo meeting on Libya, because it's important to shape the strategy of PAM vis-à-vis Libya next year. The 5+5 will be the critical event. And then to look also, I'm preparing a meeting with the new special envoy for Syria, who is a Norwegian diplomat, who he will take, he should take a function today in Geneva to replace Stefan de Mistura. So I will go to see him and then I will inform you.
Syria, you know.
Sorry.
I can come with you to Syria, yes? Maybe in your plan, after you finish the visit in Syria, maybe you can jump to Israel to see if...
No, the meeting will be in Geneva, not in Syria.
In Geneva.
The meeting, because the new person will work from the UN office in Geneva.
Okay.
Then he will go to Syria, but I think let's first see the way he works, and then we can see what to do with him. I was also thinking to invite him to the plenary session, if possible, in Belgrade, so that he can brief the assembly what are his ideas, as last year we got the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Libya. So I hope that he can come to Belgrade to give a briefing and to meet with the assembly. I think that we have covered all the agenda on the item, and there is... Oh, sorry, Bilal.
بنفس الموضوع إذا تحتاج أي مساعدة مع المندوب الجديد لأنه أيضا السلطة الفلسطينية ونحن مهتمين بموضوع اللاجئين الفلسطينيين في سوريا. Sorry. In the same issue about the new representative of the General Secretary for Syria, if you need any help, we have our contact with him. And because we have a lot of Palestinian refugees in Syria, and we follow that with them. Thank you.
We indeed, I think it's a good idea to prepare a new tour of the region and covering the countries, and so that we can have an update in view of the next plenary. And once I meet him in Geneva, I will send you the message immediately about what is his plan, what is his idea. I know his boss, who is Jan Egeland from Norway. Yeah, this is the new. I know his boss. And we have worked together. So I will try to talk to him and see what is his plan for Syria, how he intended to bring the negotiations. Also, because he inherit from the Mistura a total different situation from what was the beginning of the conflict, and then I will let you know immediately. Okay, and hopefully I will try to bring him to Belgrade for the plenary session for him to introduce his plan of action, if or his strategy, whatever he will have. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I ask if there are any remarks about financial. So, in that case, dear colleagues, thank you all for your participation in this Bureau meeting. We reached the final, and your continued commitment to PAM. As we've seen in these discussions, there is a lot of work ahead of us. We will hold the next Bureau meeting on the eve of the 13th PAM plenary session in Belgrade, which is set to take place on 22nd February 2019. So before I invite you all to join that lunch in honor of the Bureau members, let me congratulate the translators. Despite this technical issue with one of the booths and the electronic consoles, they have made a terrific job. Congratulations. Also to thank the staff of the Portuguese Parliament, the Department of International Relations. It is important to also to congratulate them.
To congratulate her because it's a staff of women and they have made a terrific job. Rita Pinto Ferreira, Dalila Maulide, Nadia Loureiro e Anabela Simão for hers, also are, for their, also are, our congratulations. Thank you very much. I hope to see you all in the lunch. Thank you.